What's up, everybody? Welcome back to Clocks Running, the podcast for everything flag football officials. I'm Ant.
And I'm Jacob.
Oh, what up, man?
Hey, man. So, look, so I kind of hijacked the Clocks Running IG. I don't normally do that. And I took a gamble on something.
First mistake. Okay, go ahead.
Yep. So, I went and I'm trying to make the Ant cheesesteak. because I don't want anything outside of the norm to say that there's no special ingredients. It's just steak, cheese, and cream cheese. All right.
Okay.
We're gonna try it. First, we're gonna bring on the guests. We're gonna bring on the guests for the show, and we're gonna do it with everybody. So,
okay.
You want to bring them in?
Yeah. Hold on. You can't just drop a bomb like that and just be like, "Oh, let's just bring on the guests and just move on." Okay.
What do you mean?
I just want to be clear about this, okay? Number one, all right, I'm not making this cheesesteak, so it's already an issue for me, all right? It's how long has it been sitting now? So it's cold, right?
It's not cold. It was wrapped up in tinfoil, but about 5 minutes.
No. So the whole point of the cheesesteak is that the cream cheese gets mixed in, melts a little bit into the steak, and then gets put on the roll, but okay. But, hey, you try it, all right? But all I know is it sounded like, I could be wrong, maybe I was reading between the lines, but it sounds like to me that Bruce Mapp agreed that if I bring cream cheese, he will make a cheesesteak happen with some cream cheese on it.
Bruce Mapp's direct quote was, "Hell no, we don't do that."
No, that's a bad John. That's a bad John. All right.
That's a bad John. I think the sandwich is gonna be a bad John. I'm trying to meet you more than halfway. Okay. Now bring on the guests.
I
will if you don't want to. I'm pumped. It's gonna be a good show.
All right, go ahead and intro. Let's bring one on a time, okay? This is jam packed. We haven't seen these guys in a little bit. So let's start from the west and make our way all the way east. Okay, so let's do that. All right.
So if we're starting out west, this was easy. All right. So we're bringing on the man, the myth, the legend, Sir Lancelot himself, Lance Lou, throwing up the reverse shocker. What's up, bro?
Hey, yo. No, that is not a W, sir.
Long time no chat, boys. How are you?
Hey, we missed you, man. How are you?
Doing all right.
Lance, you told me I got to work on my mechanics, man, but you got to work on your gang signs because that was not okay when you just threw up.
Well, let me put it this way. What happens when you've played too much flag and your knuckles and your joints, they don't work very well. So.
I got the same thing going on.
Yeah.
It's all good, though.
Hey, so what's been going on with you, Lance? Tell us about recent events for you.
Just doing a lot of high school, which ended last couple weeks. Like, literally, there was the month of October was 6 to 7 days a week of either high school tackle or high school girls flag. So that preoccupied a lot of my time in the month of but basically much of September and all of October. So, and then slowing down a little bit for November and then kicking it back up a notch for December with the Bay Area and Arlington. And then obviously looking forward to January. So,
absolutely. For sure. How do you feel like year two went for girls high school in California?
I think it went really well. We've got a lot of excitement, at least in Northern California. I know SoCal's got – they had playoffs and stuff like that. But up here in NorCal, we 3X'd the number of teams. And we had teams that literally started when the season started. Like, they literally like, "Hey, this looks like fun. Let's just whip a team together." I'm like, Well, it's not that easy, but okay. But they had fun. Lots of people. The feedback that we got was, you know, are you guys running it back? He goes, yes, absolutely. So that's what we – that's all we can hope for, right? You know, it's our job as Stripes to make it safe and keep it under control. But if they're having fun, more power to them.
What was the what's one rule that you hope they change going into year three?
Well, so let's take a step back. Each state apparently has their own rule set, unlike Boys Town, which is one book and we all use the same book. So everyone has their own rules, and I will say this. In California, and I'm hoping that they standardize this like the boys. It's kind of the rumor, but I'm not 100% sure. So any typical no run zone, right? It's great. However, I can throw back to QB2, throwback, lateral. Ball's in the air. I don't care how far. And then they can run it. And they called that a pass.
That defeats the purpose.
No. Jacob. Yes. When I first read it, I actually reached out to a couple of my guys out here, like Lenny, Omar, and Gins. I'm like, dude, can you read this and tell me this is not right? He goes, yeah, this is not right. So hopefully that's one rule that they change. I've talked to all the coaches, and they're like, it's a run. I go, I know that. You know that. It's okay. We'll make it work. But that's probably the biggest single rule that sort of just blew my mind more than anything else.
Wasn't there like speculation that the National Federation was going to write a flag book so we'd have something to base off of?
Yeah, so that is supposed – so this is the rumor. Like I said, I'm not 100% sure, but there is a rumor that's floating around that for year three, at least in California, for 2025 season, that we will have a standardized book.
Nice.
Don't know how true, but we'll see. Because that would make it so much easier, right?
It would. If they get it right, they'll make it 100% easier.
Yeah, I mean, I've watched highlights of other states, and I'm like, we can't do that. Or that's what's going on over there? So there's a couple of things that we're seeing that are a little bit nuanced state by state. And, you know, if we can standardize it, it's easier for us to promote it nationally versus state by state. So that's kind of my take on that.
That's the goal.
But it was fun. I mean, all the girls had fun. We had a lot of great competition. And, you know, for year three, this much I know, there will be playoffs for year three, like standardized playoffs. So that's what we want. Now, if we can get the rules straight, we'll be gold.
Perfect.
Yep.
There you go. Jacob, you ready to bring on the next guest?
Yep, so this one we're going to have to jump on a quick boat. We're going to have to bring him over. According to him, he is the island boy. Bring on Mr. Dean.
What's up, gents?
What's going on, Dean? We see you still don't have the background straightened out, but that's fine. It's good.
You're telling me this is not how you say third down?
Oh, my goodness.
I thought that's how every ref signals third down.
No, that is not. Lance's going German on us.
Hey, it's third down. It's constant. I don't know why my picture's doing that, but anyway, we'll figure it out.
Because you have a background behind you. That's why.
We talked about this.
You know, there's an opportunity before the show to kind of fix the little, you know, issues, and I guess you chose not to. So.
Nah, we rolled with it.
Dean said this is not an issue. We're in island time now.
Exactly. Yeah. We're in island life. Exactly.
All right. So we've had Dean on pretty recently, so we kind of know what's going on with Dino. So before we'll get into your weekend here in just a minute, let's go ahead and bring our next guest on, if you're cool with that. He's the prettiest guy we know that wears the stripes. Bring on Mr. Petty Pat.
What it is, what it ain't, what it can be. Third down, baby.
Now that's how you throw up the West.
Hey, But I ain't want to throw it to Kansas City because that would have really looked like a gang sign.
Oh, man. We would have been all scrapping out there.
Yeah, man. But how's everybody been going? Quick back brief on what I've been up to, man. Just finished up my first rookie season in some D2 college football. I mean, it was great. It was a good, I would say, challenge at the beginning. But picked it right up and went right forward. Been also been doing some what we do for the nursery rules for these college girls. They're going to be doing down in the CIAA. Been doing a couple of those little tournaments they've been running to see how they're going to go. And, you know, but, oh, my God. But we'll talk about that part a little later when it comes to these nursery rules. I mean, I get it. They're the same, I guess, from what I've read. They're standardized, but we don't know if the CIAA is going to pick those actual rules up and go with them. And then, you know, of course, some eight women's contact football, and that's really been it. So that's pretty much it. Now I'm back, locked and loaded, got my beard growing 3 weeks back in. No baby face again, you know. but other than that, man, locked and loaded, ready for January to get here and have some fun with everybody.
Pat, you have anything strange happen without the beard? Like, did you get ID to the liquor store or have some college girls hitting on you at all or anything like that?
Man, no, his wife watches this. Don't do that to him.
No, I mean, the funny thing about that, man, I actually got ID'd by people that I didn't know that would actually recognize me with my beard off. So it was like, hey, what up, Pat? I'm like, hey, how do you get here? I'm like, how do you know who I am? But yeah, because I literally don't shave until that morning. I let my hair grow back, then I shave, and I stay out of the limelight. That's why you ain't seen me really doing too much posting pictures or anything like that with no shave. So but yeah, that's pretty much. But no, I didn't get identified as far as ID. My wife did. That was pretty cool, you know. But I guess. when my beard grows back in, it has little grays in there. So they knew I was a little older. So it was pretty cool, man. It was a good experience. So, but I know your face burned like a motherfucker. I don't know how Lance do it. Shave and then sweat and face burning. I was like, oh my God, I don't miss this nothing. I don't miss this at all from the military days.
He keeps it down, man. That's why.
Whoa.
It's a real foggy season in Northern California, right?
It was raining the last couple of days. It's all right right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, Jacob, you got some sort of dinner plans you're going to show us? Or
all right. So, I told you I'd do it. I got cheese.
We got 5 minutes. I was just about to text you. Sorry about that.
He's mute. He muted. I remember my first time on the show. There it is. All right. So I got cream cheese on the top half of this. Bottom half is regular provolone cheese mixed in with the steak. And we're just gonna take a big old bite and see what happens. Great. And that's gross. That's gross.
Because you did it wrong. Because you did it wrong.
There's no right way to do it. That's not good.
I mean, is it better than with mayonnaise? I mean
mayo belongs on, you can put mayo on a cheese steak.
No, you cannot. Why are you guys blasphemous of a cheesesteaks? Like, no cream cheese, no mayo. It's supposed to be like the corny, cheap cheese, and the cheaper the cheese, the better the cheesesteak.
Did you say corny? No. Yeah, you're not.
No, it's corny. Provolone. It's provolone cheese.
No, it's
provolone,
not provolone.
Mozzarella.
That's it. That's it. Not cream cheese or mayonnaise.
I mean, mayonnaise can go on it too, but he said corn. Get out of here, Dean.
All right.
Now that we've proven Ann's point that cream cheese Philly's gross was rock and roll.
Yes.
Yeah. Hey, so social media has been going crazy lately, and we have had lots of conversations. I've been posting all kinds of clips and Star Cup bench, GOAT conversations. We've been, posting clips about, highlight reels and all that stuff. Something that continues to come up, and I just want to bring up the conversation. We got all these years of officiating experience. So I just want to get into the conversation about a few things. First and foremost, and Pat, I'm going to let you start it off because you are one of the best, especially in contact. And I know coming from contact, you talk about bodying up and what that looks like. But I just want to talk about that rule and talk about the terminology. How do you approach that? Whether it's contact, non-contact, is there a general umbrella you have for bodying up? Let me hear it, Pat.
Well, like I told you, man, after this past season, outside of doing refereeing, oh man, I got locked in that rule book. Anything egregious? As far as if I see anything forceful now, man, I am locked in as far as with the contact, the hands to the face. As far as if I see you going for the flag, but I see the offensive player make a move like directly at him or attacks him, it's kind of like a, what did they really do? I mean, did they really try and run? Now, if I see him drop a shoulder and run through him, and I see the runner, get blasted out of bounds or get taken to the ground, or if the runner dips and then they ride him all the way down to the ground, no diddy. But if I see things like that, of course I'm locked in now because I'm so used to like getting penalized on missing a call now. It's crazy, man. But like the old me, I would have been like, blast them. Hey, as long as you go on the flags, take it to the ground, now all diddy. But yeah, you take them to the ground, as long as you come up with a flag. But I know by rules, I know by the black and white, man, you can't do that. So I'll be locked in on a lot more when it comes to the contact. I also make sure I brief them before the game, what I'm looking for, and I let the crew now know what we're looking for. It ain't no, well, he tried to pull from hitting the runner or the quarterback. No, hey, black and white says you make contact with the quarterback, like you run through him or you hit his arm or her arm. Hey, I'm going to flag you. I'm sorry. I mean, my clock going to keep ticking. You can argue with me all day. But yeah, that's one thing that I got going forward as far as being able to watch for a lot of things that I used to not pay attention to because of the black and white. I used to go off of the player mentality or the local league mentality or, DC mentality type things. But, nah, black and white is black and white. And, yeah, that's where I'm at now.
Yeah, I appreciate you mentioning that about the local and DC stuff. Jacob, about a month ago, we had Mike Holmes on. Dean just did whatever he wanted as far as his headphones, and we barely heard a lot of his conversation. But Mike had a lot of good stuff to say, and one of the things he said is, hey, in the DMV, this is what contact looks like, and this is how we're going to run contact. But at the same time, he said, this generation coming up now can't handle the contact that we have established in the DMV. So
they cannot.
Yeah. So how do we now balance that out with saying, okay, there's regions that want contact to be this way, but this younger generation can't handle that?
It's evolution. It's evolution of the game. It's showing them the way that it could be with the way it is in the past, and it's adapting to what the players in front of us give us. I think that's the simplicity of it. Is you just have to keep evolving the game, have to keep being willing to be progressive in the way of keeping the game moving, but in a way that's still enjoyable for everybody. It's absolutely doable.
What, Lance, let me bounce over to you. What role do you think officials play in evolving the game, like Jacob's talking about?
Well, I mean, the involvement is going to come over time, and we make adjustments as we see fit to at the end of the day, we're essentially making sure that each and every player can go home in one piece that night. So at the end, so for me, I'm, you know, if I see a player that appears to be a little aggressive, I'll take note. I'll say, hey, calm down. I'm not going to flag him right away. But if he continues and thinks I'm being an a-hole for recommending him to calm down, then yeah, he's gone. Or I'm going to flag him. I'm not going to do it just to out of spite. It's more about like, hey, we all got stuff going on at home. We all understand. We all got to go home in one piece. No one wants. I certainly do not want to call the ambulance, and I know you don't want to pay the bill. So let's all have fun, play some good football, and then all go home and have a beer. It's not that hard.
I'm with Lance. Lance for president.
Hey, so Dean, to just bring you in on this, as far as your experience in officiating at tournaments, have you had situations where you're, whether it's non-contact or contact, and you see a flagpole where there's a wraparound or a body up, and you know, and how are you managing that, and what's the response you get from players?
Well, I mean, it, you know, if like Pat said, if you're gonna come up with the flag, even though it's non-contact, there's a clear indication to go for the flag. If you're not going for the flag in any way, I'm flagging any contact in non-contact, because, you know, players, like Lance said, we want players to go home in one piece. We don't want things to escalate, because if you there's tempers are going to flare. Like, you're going to pick on the wrong person. Like, you might wrap up someone, take them to the ground, and they get up and they say, okay, cool, no problem. But one day you're going to pick the wrong person, and you're going to wrap them up or go down, and then they're going to get up and they're going to start fighting. And then it's going to get ugly, and then you're going to have to eject people, or you're going to have to call a forfeit, which is what we don't want. So I think nipping it in the butt early is key to preventing it and de-escalating it. So if you see one where it's 50-50, where he comes up with the flag but kind of makes contact, you just tell him, look, it's non-contact. We've been through this before. Just take it easy. Go for the flags, nothing more. And then if he does it again, it's a flag. And if they want to react, they can react. I'll just throw another flag and kick him out the game. So it's just that simple. Like, there's no room in sports. It's not that deep. You're not getting paid $1 million. You know, you're not on a $1 million contract. It's a fun league. You know, you at the end of the day, you're gonna go home, have a beer, relax. So, I mean, I'm not. If it's contact, I'll let something slide. If it's non-contact, I'm throwing the flag.
What if it's a $5,000 game?
Still, it's not a $1 million game. Like, I get it. Competitiveness is there. Jesus, that was wow. It's there, but oh, I got it in the end. But you know, if it's a $5,000 game, it's a $5,000 game. I'm gonna still go in and riff and do the job I'm supposed to do and call it as I see it. And if you don't like it, then I'm sorry for you, but that's just the way it is. I'm not gonna change my officiating style because it's a $5,000 game. Because a $5,000 game is just as important as a $500 game. You know, it's I'm not going to change my officiating style just because it's a $5,000 game.
What if it's a $1 million game?
Still not changing my style of officiating. I'm still not changing. I mean, this past weekend.
That's happened before. We've had a $1 million game, you know?
Well, yeah, but I'm not gonna change my style. I mean, this past weekend, right now we're doing our youth league on the island. And our beach league as well. And on Saturday, I had a kid who literally pulled a player to the ground while the player was on the ground, punched him in the back. And this is a 15, 16-year-old doing this. Punched the player in his back, got up, and then argued the call with me. So it's the first time I've ever called 3 fouls on a single player and enforced every single one of them. And I loved it. Because I'm, you know, it starts with the youth, like the youth is the future of the game, right? So, with the youth being the future of the game, I'm gonna nip it in the butt straight from the start.
Are you saying nip it in the bud or nip it in the butt?
Bud.
Okay. Yes. All right. I thought you were saying butt.
No, my accent is hard. D-U-D.
That's like your windscreen.
It is a windscreen. It's not a windshield.
So Lance, Pat mentioned that he's going to talk about, you know, he's going to set his expectations at the coin toss. Dean talked about kind of, you know, making sure that if it's something happens in the beginning of the game, he wants to make sure he calls it, kind of set a precedent. Are there things along the lines of the physicality or bodying up that you really try to focus on, whether it's coin toss early on, or how do you approach it?
Depends on the team. If I know them, I know what to look for, right? If I know the player and I've either played with them, against them, or I've ref their games before, and I know their style, I'm automatically looking for specific things. It's like, you know, Pat, you know this. Someone says, they're holding. I'm like, all right, we're going to stare at you two and forget everybody else, right? That's what you want me to do. So if I know the players, then yes, I'm probably going to focus them on more. My take on that is if they're heated before I even do the coin toss, I will have a conversation. If they're pretty mellow and they're just starting off, let the game flow. But if things begin to escalate, you know, as we've always said, clock's going to be running, but I'm going to tell people to shut up. Right. I'm going to tell them to like calm down. It's just a game. Get it. And the clock's still running. But at the same time, we also want to, again, make sure everyone gets to go home at the end of the day.
Yeah. So you talk about physicality and you're talking about how, you know, depending on the teams that you know and stuff. Pat, let me ask you this. As far as teams in the pro division, non-contact, contact, do you approach those games differently than you would games in the rec or comp or elite or all those other divisions that we have?
No, honestly, I approach them all the same. I just know in the pro, I'm going to hear a lot more biatching for things because they try and get away with a lot more things. More in the lower levels, they pretty much listen from the beginning. But at the same time, they don't really know who I am as far as, you know, by being a former player, most of the guys that playing on the pro level will know who I am. So they're going to expect, well, you did it, and or this and that, or we do it in our league up in, you know, for North Carolina or DMV or Pennsylvania or whatever, and they don't call it like that. But, no, I keep it all the same. Like, I've been by the book, and Jacob could tell you from, what 2 weeks ago, I mean – we had it pretty clean out there. I mean, it wasn't too much, too many penalties that was really thrown because, like I said, I briefed them at the beginning of the game. And by the time they get to the playoffs, they already know what to expect. So we don't have to worry about any of that. So, yeah, that's pretty much how I approach it. You get it taken care of at the beginning, no matter if they come out mellow or they come out angry. Hey, captains, hey, you go address your guys. This right here is going to be on you. So, it's up to you to get them out here when the clock starts and let them know this is what we're calling, this is what the referee is expecting, and that's it, no matter what division. Women, men, youth, co-ed, all the same.
So the reason I bring this up is in some of the clips that have been posted on our social media, the immediate response in a lot of them are, well, in a pro game, this would be allowed. In a pro game, we want this physicality. In a pro game, this is clean. Jacob, what is your thought process in that? Why do you think pro players have that mentality?
It's a barking dog mentality at the end of the day. It's
anyone outside of North Carolina doesn't know what that means. So...
Well, if you'll let me finish my sentence, I'd love to explain. So, for all of my non-North Carolinians, the barking dog mentality, it's the talk tough. It's talking tough. It's putting on a face that, oh, we want this. We want to be able to play. We want this extra physicality until it happens, right? And then the second it happens, the moment it actually happens and there's a foul in their eyes occurs, they immediately want to call. And I think that goes across the board. I don't think that's just in pro. I think pro's a little bit louder because it's a little more visible, right? So I think the players, you get that mentality of, yeah, we want it until it happens. And then the second it happens, immediately we don't want it. Why are they doing this? Okay, if that's how we're going to play, we could all play like that. Things like that that get said, and then nothing ever really comes of it. So,
yeah. Lance, you agree? You feel like you approach pro the same as you would rec games?
A game is a game is a game. You treat it the same way, whether or not it's some random people that are just showing up and they've paid their fees to YTG. So I think one of the things that I get a lot of feedback on is lots of people chirp. Keep playing. Keep rolling. I'm all like, I don't care. You guys chirp all day, all night. But guess what? You only have 10 seconds to run that play.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So you keep chirping. I don't care. Oh, by the way, game's over. What do you do? Bye.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, and you know, I give a lot of credit, Pat and Lance, both. I don't know, Dean, if you have one of those things that you wear on your hip that has the play clock. I know in my experience, the thing that players, because they have so much accessibility to us as officials, they want to throw off our play clock, throw off our game clock, try to mess with us so that we're not counting, whatever it is. You guys have that where you literally click that. Have you, Pat, have you noticed once you got that box that it was easy to just be like, nope, this is where we're at. This is the clock.
Oh, man. Thank you, Lance, again for that idea, because it came in handy also in the game recently when the game clock went out in the stadium. But, yeah, my God, you have the players want to talk to you. The coaches on the sideline want to talk to you. But once I click it, And I feel that vibration 10, and they shut the hell up, and that's the best sound ever. As soon as I say 10, they shut up. I promise you, from the quarterbacks to the offensive line, the wide receivers to the coaches on the sideline, everybody shut up. Only people still talking is the spectators. That's it, and I don't hear them because I'm counting by that time. So yeah,
I will have one for Tampa for sure. I'm ordering one in. I will have. Yep, 1,000%. I'm getting a ready ref, and I will have one for Tampa.
Bring an extra set of batteries.
Yeah, absolutely. That's I'll bring literally what sets. I was going to say. Two sets of batteries, not one, it's, but two.
It's people don't think about it, and it's to your point, Pat. It's you're trying to focus on the count. You're also looking at the line, especially in a two-man crew. You're also looking at, you know, motion. You're looking at other stuff, and you're also trying to help the rush. That's just one less thing you don't have to actively think about. It's on your hip, and you know, now I don't even, once people realize I raise my hand, we gotta go, guys, we gotta go, I don't even say anything. So you know, from that perspective, it's one less thing that I have to worry about to announcing. It's like, hand is up, you got 10 seconds, let's go.
Yeah, and another thing to caveat on that, I almost gave away the game clock because everybody asks you the game clock every 25 seconds. Like, bro, if y'all don't do the math on the sideline, if I say it's 3 minutes and then a play runs and then you ask me what's the clock again, I say 2:15, shut up, leave me alone. I give the clock away and I be like, I just point. I don't even say anything. I just point. They got the clock. Don't ask me no more. What's the play clock? Right over there. And I still have it, but I still ask them. I have the official game clock, but I'll give it to someone else so they can ask them the time.
Yeah, I think that's the biggest thing for me is because like I'm used to doing the play clock with my arm out like this, like and then 15. But you'll get people asking you what's the score. What down are we at? Is it open? Is it closed? If you're doing co-ed, and it's just when you're telling them that, you're not counting the play clock. right? So you lose track so easily of the count, and then you're all of a sudden, oh, I'm at 15. Meanwhile, it would have been 5 or an expired play clock. So I think the ready ref is definitely going to help me with that, and it's going to take a lot off of a lot of stress off of my shoulders. So
yep,
look forward to that.
Jacob, when you're building up new officials, how do you kind of train them up as far as kind of managing all of those things, game clock, play clock, score, all that?
So, I mean, typically it falls – I try to have it fall to the crew chief of each field, right? That way it's somebody who is a little bit more experienced, someone's used to the flow of how we do things, so that new person isn't just getting thrown right in. But sometimes that doesn't happen. But, you know, the thing is just tell them just to keep consistent. Get the rhythm in your head of what, you know, what 25 seconds should feel like, know where you're at, know where you feel. And then just, you know, just keep going with the flow. If people are talking to you, just keep, you know, keep moving. There's little ways to do it. If you don't, you know, I don't quite agree. I understand it. I don't agree with people counting with their hand and, you know, 10, 9, you know, I don't agree with that 100% just because your hand and your voice can say two different things. You know, if my hand's at 5 and it's here and then I go, then I'm out. It's saying two different things and it's throwing people off and they're going to call you on it. So little things, you know, just figure out what works for you, what cadence works best for you and what, you know, if you don't have the ready ref, cause those things aren't cheap. It's a good investment. Don't get me wrong. To be honest with you, I probably need to get one for myself. But it's also whatever cadence you have, as long as you're consistent at the end of the day, you're giving teams the fair amount of time, you know, there shouldn't be any issues.
Jacob, you could set yours and turn yours on when you, get on a golf cart to pick up a scorecard or something, give yourself 25 seconds to.
Nah, Jacob got to get a full 40, man. The full 40. Full 40.
Hey. Does it go higher than 40?
I want to go higher than 40.
No, you have to. They'll show you in the book when you get it. You can set them on.
Yeah, you can program.
No, I know. I used one in Nashville, guys. I'm not like I used one of the refs. Lent me theirs. I know how it works.
He knows how it works.
Well, we thought you was being serious. We thought you was access. Does it go more than 40 seconds?
No, well, I was just thinking because it's going to take Jacob more than 40 seconds to get the scorecard. So I'm like, that's not a judgment. Or it's going to take Jacob like 4 hours to bring me water on field 22A.
Yeah, you need to drop him a case of water next time and let him.
I'm showing up to the field. I'm showing up to the field with a case of water, 100%. I'm bringing a case of water.
Got to get all this out now. Go ahead.
See, I got my water right there.
Lance, what do you want to add, buddy? Go ahead. I know you got something, too.
I'm sorry if I put you in that boat that one time on the radio when I'm like, someone want to get these cards? And I'm like staring at you across the field.
Thanks, Lance.
I think it was either you and George or you and Pat, and I was just – like, you guys want to get these? Because, you know, I'm just holding on to these.
I've never had an issue with other directors getting scorecards. I think it's mostly just Jacob.
It's just me.
I've had no issues with directors getting scorecards. It's just directors bringing me water.
Anyway, so, hey, Lance, here, like, in a week and a half, there's going to be a big tournament in the Bay Area, right?
Yes, sir.
Are you, because I've been hammering the illegal equipment, flag belts being loose, all of that on social media, but is the Bay Area going to show something different this time around? Because they love to cheat, in my eyes.
If you're not cheating, you're not trying. First, just saying. And if you're cheating, okay, and you get caught, you are not good. That's two. We will, at least with regards to tournament play, we'll be a little bit more hands-on and a little bit more stringent on what, especially on the equipment side. We'll make enough. Like league play, if no one's going to care, then fine. I'm not going to care. But this is different. This is tournament play. Is there a bid? Is there a quarter bid or half bid?
I'm not 100% on. I think just because this is an open, I'm not sure if there's any bids on the line.
Okay. Just because it's a tournament, we'll be a little bit more stringent. I am though very proud that I went seven. Did I bring seven?
Quite a few.
I brought at least seven, three tackle. Never done a tournament like this. They did girls high school. And so they're like, yeah, we'll do it. I'm like, sweet. So super excited and it should be fun.
There you go. Well, speaking of West Coast players, we got down, we talked about rules and all that. It's about time of the show to have a little fun though. So we're going to do some start, cut, bench. And Lance, I want to start with you on the West Coast. Okay. So we're talking West Coast quarterbacks. All right. Now the caveat with this is that this is not them bringing their whole team to the equation. Okay. This quarterback is matched up with four rec players.
Okay.
And so you're deciding start bench with rec players. Okay. So your three options are Nick from Curry Bombers.
Yep.
Ant from New Dynasty. And Brendan from Ronin.
Nick. Just because
you're starting Nick?
Starting Nick. I'll probably have to cut Ant and I'll leave Brandon was bench. Yeah.
Ooh. Okay.
Just because cutting I've seen the- Nick do it, I've seen Nick take a rec team. Like completely, I swear to God, a super rec team. Enough times where it's like, okay. It's conceivable that like if he has the right players, he's done really well with getting rec players to be on the same page who have no idea what they're doing. I don't know Ant well enough. I've seen him obviously excel, and he's more of a contact QB than a non-contact. And then with Brandon, I've only he's played with his crew, so I don't know him well enough to see him outside of his comfort zone.
When you got to button that up, your bias is showing.
Being honest,
I have seen the picture, the team picture from Curry Bombers with Lance in the front row. I've seen it. It's old, yeah. but I have seen it. Okay, Jacob, I know you love the West Coast. And you're always excited to be out there. So let me throw one your way.
Well, you have two other perfectly capable guests on the show that have not had to answer these yet.
That's true, and I'm going to get to them, sir.
Oh, okay.
So you got Kaker, Law, and JJ.
Who?
From New Era.
JJ. Cut him. I don't even know who that is. cut him.
I would have thought you'd cut somebody else, but I won't get into that.
Nah, we're gonna bench Kaker, we're gonna start.
Start off.
Augusto, fuck it. I don't know him, cut him.
All right. Okay. All right, so Jacob wants to bring you guys in. Yeah, you do. You know who he is, yeah, for sure. Okay. Pat, so we're going to talk DMV a little bit, some old timers. So
go ahead.
Jacob, you all right?
Yep, I'm great. I know where this is going. Go.
Okay.
You already know who I am, man. You already know I have no film. Let's roll.
All right, these guys probably wore really baggy jerseys. They came from an era long forgotten. Mark Williams, Mike Holmes, and Craig Mims. Is that how you say the last name? Mims.
Yeah.
We talk about playing.
Yeah.
Fuck, this is easy. Oh,
that was the best look ever.
Oh, hey Mark, scram, buddy. Beat traffic.
Yes.
Hey, Craig. Hey, go ahead and take a seat right here. But Mike, yeah, you're starting. Mike is
okay.
Period.
Okay. All right, Dean. I'm gonna put you. I put you to the test. I don't know. You know if you know the players or not.
No, like I'm still a newbie. So this is gonna be interesting. Like the only players that I know that you've mentioned is I know Ant, Nick, and the guy from Ronin. I know those three.
Okay. So I'm gonna help you out, and just like Jacob said. You need to button it up and not be biased in this, because I know the biased person that you'll start. So here we go. We're gonna take it to the women's game. Okay. So women's wide receivers. All right, we got Madison, Kennedy, and Clam.
Okay, I know those three, and that's really tough. Jesus, are you just gonna give me the toughest question of the day? All right, I'm starting Madison, hands down.
Starting Madison, okay.
Why are you doing this to me, Ant? Why are you doing this to me?
Hey, drop your nuts, Dean. Let's get it going.
it's okay. So, just cut her, man. It's fine.
Definitely starting Madison. I'm benching Clam and I'm cutting Kennedy.
Whoa!
It didn't matter who you
slugged.
I was ripping that up.
I know you wanted to rip it up for the longest time, so that's fine. No,
this is Madison. All I know is Madison's going to be kind of interesting if you get women's.
I know, but no, Madison is a beast.
Man, he's not getting off.
I'm not saying anything. Lance already has like 100 receipts. I'm not giving him any more ammunition. So it's good. I'm not saying a word. All I'm saying is start Madison, bench Clamp, and cut Kennedy. That's it.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Thanks, Dean. I appreciate that. Lance, back to you. I want you to you can decide. You're going to pick either a Texas question or a Florida question.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Whichever one you don't want, he's going to pin the other one on me. So take your pick, buddy.
All right, you know, I'll take Texas because you probably know. Yeah, I mean, I don't know.
I don't care. I look, this is going to be a nightmare either way.
True.
Oh, Jacob's all sensitive about having these questions all of a sudden.
You know, we haven't had one for you. How about that?
That's literally what I was thinking. I'm all like, why are you know not? Lance?
This goofball gave me the look. Oh, man, he goofed. Big time. Go ahead. You can ask Lance. I'll follow up with you in just a second, sir.
Okay, that's no problem at all. Yeah, I really don't care.
I don't care. I don't remember you. Go ahead.
All right, Lance. You said Texas?
Sure.
Okay, so we got Fred, Black, or Rello?
For like what? As just a player, receiver, defender? Like you're not helping me here.
Yeah, they are on a team of four rec players and men.
Start Rello. Wait, who are my options? Rello, Black, and Fred?
Yeah.
Sorry, Black. Probably have to cut Black and go Fred bench.
Woo! I'm glad this isn't live.
Oh, this would be dope.
I take it by Jacob's reaction. Man. That was a shocking choice. But you're right.
So, historically, Black's pretty tough athlete.
No, I know. Why I reluctant? Did you not see my reluctance? I was like, but I was like, well, he didn't give me options. Like, what position are they playing? What are they doing? I'm all like,
that's kind of the point.
If you're telling me he's a receiver / DB, Black.
He's whatever you want him to be. But apparently you want him off the team.
No.
Apparently you don't want him there. Apparently.
He said he's not paying team fees. He's not on the squad.
Wow.
All right, Ant. Yeah. Since you like to put everybody else on the hot seat, it's time for your button to sit on the hot seat. Pause.
Let's go.
All right. So we're gonna go to the great state of Florida.
Yes, sir.
And I'm gonna pull three quarter. I'm gonna go easy with on you here with this one. I'm gonna pull three quarterbacks from Miami. We're gonna go Nico. We're going Tronky. We're going Eddie.
Yeah, that's really easy. Start Nico, bench Tronky, cut Eddie.
Oh shit! Say it with your chest.
You know what I mean? all right. So, Pat, I'm going to bring it back to you. I know you got some Florida experience, so I want to throw a Florida one your way. We got Velt, Mark, and Darius Davis.
Whoo, that's a tough one. Well, I'm going to let you know now. Velt, god damn it, buddy. Go ahead and on to the other field, buddy. We good. I got Darius is on the bench, even though he's one of the GOATs. But Mark, I've seen him and I played with him on the same team. I have to start him. He can play anywhere on the field.
There we go. Okay. All right, Jacob, you ready for yours? Or you got some? Did you stroke out like Pat did last week, or what happened?
No, I'm good. Nothing's falling. We're good.
Okay. All right. All right. You ready for one?
Yeah, hit me.
All right. I got Mike Daniels, Lulu, and Duke.
See, I can't remember Mike Daniels. That's the problem. Lulu and Duke, I do remember.
Okay.
So I'm gonna have to, and it's because I don't remember him. Womp's going on the bench. Lulu, I'm
on the bench.
No, he a cut. My bad. Womp's getting cut. My bad.
Yeah.
Womp's getting cut. Starting Lulu, benching Duke.
Okay. All right.
Give me three names, random names. I'll start, cut, bench. I don't care.
No, that doesn't do any good.
Not how this train rolls, Dean.
All right, Lance. So I'm going to give you the final one. This is the Texas one. You got Pat Alley, Eric Holiday, and Fresh.
You get on the rec team?
Yeah.
If it's a rec team, I'd probably start Pat, bench Eric, cut Fresh. If it's a rec team.
Okay.
I got one final one.
Yes, sir.
This one's for Dean. Start, cut, bench officials.
Okay, now we're talking. I'll take it. Lance, where are you going?
All right. Start, cut, bench. Declan, Avery.
Ooh, that's a hard one. Asshole. You're an asshole, by the way.
I want to make sure you were included in this.
That's like, dude, why'd you give me my... Okay.
We're waiting.
Go ahead and drop
it. I wish this platform had a poll. Like, we could do a poll right now.
Oh, man. Just who are you going to pick?
Time to drop your kahunas, Dean. Let's go.
I'm starting Sonya.
Okay.
Surprise, surprise.
Let's see the next move here. What are we doing, Dino? Does he go Boy Wonder? Does he go Housemate? Which path does Dean take?
seed? I'm cutting Canada, Declan.
All right, Florida. 3 seconds. Canada. 2, 1.
I'm cutting Declan and I'm benching Avery.
Dean's riding the lady train. All right.
Yeah.
I think you.
Sorry, Declan. Sorry, Declan. I'm so sorry.
Well, Dean, we know you're not gay.
Jesus Christ.
Like, not that there's anything wrong with it.
Hey,
you know.
Let me see if I can do this. Definitely
hey,
where is it? There you go. Third down.
Hey Pat, let me bring it back to you. Just based on a conversation that happened, I posted. You know, last week Jacob said that the GOAT of contact is Chad Beck. There was a conversation that entailed, and Jacob could fill in the names. Who were the three names that came up? There was a 9-man, 8-man, and Beck.
So you got Chad. You got Mike D came up a lot, and Rick Fobbs came up. I think.
So are we talking five contact?
That's where
because I mean, and eight is going to be Rick Fox, period. Eight. Chad is a small 5-man contact. He could take a whole bunch of youth players and fucking win a tournament. Who was the second, the third person?
Mike D from Main Event.
Mike D in his younger days, but I've played against him and he's choked against my team. So, no. I mean, he's good as far as the nines. He's the greatest in nines, from my opinion. But if you put all of them in five contact, Chad. You put all of them in eight, it's going to be Chad to be third. And then it'll be Rick, and then old boy from Main Event, Mike D.
Is there a Pat? Do you think that there's a quarterback in the contact realm that could be considered the GOAT because they can play in all three of those formats?
I would go with Mark.
Okay, yeah.
Mark has proven it. He's done it already. I mean, granted, it's only been 1 year, but I mean, shit. Every tournament he's played in with whoever, he's won except Bad Intentions and eight.
Jacob, what do you think?
Okay. So, number one, 9-man, not all the players wear flags and they stiff arm. So, we can't even count that as a real flag football format. Mm-hmm. Number two, I'm kidding. Number one.
It's fine. It's, Jacob, trust me, you pause enough between saying I'm kidding. I got it. I got the clip I needed.
Hey, Dutch, what's the name?
He's going to lose his mind.
Dutch,
here's my thoughts. Of the three, let's just use Mike D. Let's use Rick Fobbs. Let's use Chad, right? Of the three, right? Rick Fobbs only plays 8-man. Let's take him out of the equation completely. Okay. Mike D plays all three. Chad plays two of the three mainly because 9-man's not even a relevant thing around here. And it's really only relevant in the Northeast from Northern Virginia up to Maine or whatever Amish country they're in. So I think
was not that there's anything wrong with being Amish.
No, yeah, we're not worried about the Amish. Sadist or anything. Anyways, I jumped the gun a little bit and I went immediately to five contact when you asked the question.
Okay.
Mike D's probably the most decorated because he's played for the U.S. national team. In non-contact, he's played all the different formats and won in all the different formats, you know, in some capacity. So I get the argument for him. When it comes to five contact, though, the truest form of a dynasty, Bex went on a run of what? Like, I think it's like 5 of 6 years they won a world championship. And then, you know, let's see what happens in Tampa this year. If they win again, that's 6 of 8 years they've won a world championship. That's if it happens. Obviously, we can't predict the future. But how could you not say in five contact he's not the best? You know, he can – it's like passive. He could take a group that's never played together, throw it together against some of the best athletes, and win. So I think there's an argument for there, and there's an argument for either way. So I don't know if you could label it just one true person. Go ahead.
Tell Mike D to come play in the draft tournament. That's the only way we could find out.
That'd be fun.
Have all three come in the draft tournament. That's the only way we could find out.
That'd be really fun. I don't think – it's not. I don't know Rick Fobbs personally, so I can't talk.
I do.
I know he
– I do.
He's won – he's – AU has won eights 3 years in a row. Mm-hmm. So you can't knock that, right? Mm-hmm. Or they won it 3 years in a row. They didn't win this past year. The main event did. But so you have to respect his game for that. But I don't think he plays fives. He won't come play fives. I think he's been very adamant about fives isn't something he wants to do.
I'll reach out to him. I'll reach out to him and see.
We got a long time, long ways away, so.
Yep.
Lance, you have any thoughts on overall contact GOAT?
I only know – so a lot of the eights, I don't know those players. So just because, you know, we obviously don't have it as much out here versus what you guys have. So I've seen Chad. I've seen him work. I've seen him with lesser talent and, like, go after people and execute, and I'm like, okay, he can play. So based on what I've seen and who I've went, you know, the folks that I've reffed, Chad's the only one that I know. So.
Yeah. I mean, I've seen all three live, played against, Mike and AU, you know, both teams, in eights. I've played against Chad in sixes, which, you know, is not really his format, necessarily. So it's, and, you know, as far as Colorado goes, you know, there's a mentality that they have their own GOAT in their head. And to me, Colorado is just, that's like talking about when the NBA only had six teams, and, you know, you can't really talk about a GOAT from that, because it's just, there's such a small talent pool in Colorado. So it's tough for me to be like, oh yeah, I'm from Colorado and there's a GOAT out of Colorado. I do think that those are probably the right three names, you know, but hey, yeah, I mean, that'd be great to see them in a draft tournament, because that's the best way they don't have their team. They're playing a draft tournament. They match up, see who wins it. That'd be really cool. Let me skip over to non-contact. Lance, do you have a GOAT as far as non-contact goes?
No.
No.
No, thanks. No.
That's how That's how you shut that down, Jacob.
No.
No. All right, fair enough. Pat, you got a GOAT non-contact?
Well, I'm gonna give it to Mark. I mean, that's all they play down in Florida is really non-contact. And since he's made his way on the scenes, I mean, I'm trying to think. As far as non-contact though, over the years, I mean, he's old now, but I'll put Charlie McCaffrey as far as in that race too. I mean, he's won what 13 or 14 national championships with lesser talent. So, and it's all non-contact. He's not a great contact quarterback, but non-contact, he would dime you up. But as far as of now, I have to get out of Mark. As far as he's the living GOAT going on right now. I'm not gonna say the greatest of all time, because there's been some great quarterbacks and non-contact, especially the guys that's down in Miami that play four man. I can't think of their name. I think what team? What something?
What dirty?
Them guys and 305. Yeah, them dudes is no joke in non-contact, and these are some heavyweight guys that they're not moving, and they're killing you as far as the non-contact. So, yeah, I'm with Lance on that. I'm gonna go with no. So I'm gonna retract my statement with. It's a no. It's a giant.
You used to the whole lot to say no.
Yeah, I had to go around the corner and make sure that the lights was off. So yeah, it's no.
All right, fair enough. I just want to give you guys each an opportunity to kind of, you know, share some final thoughts. Tell us what's up next for you officiating wise. Dean, I'll start with you.
Mute, Dean. You're on mute, Dean. Hit the button.
Sorry. I was just so we got our final week of regular season for our youth league this Saturday. Playoffs next Saturday, and then the final week of regular season for our beach league is this Sunday, with playoffs next week, and then we are done for the year. And then all of my focus will shift on to Tampa in January, which I'm looking extremely forward to. Obviously, being the second year that I'm working Tampa, there's not going to be that shyness that it was in the first year. Like, when I walked into the room for the first time, it was just very intimidating to see all these people and like, hi, how are you? Nice to see you guys. Now I'm just going to walk in the door and be like, what's up, bitches? Let's go. You know, so it's like, it's, there's none of that. Like, the ice has been broken. You know, and honestly, like, over the few tournaments I've done this year, it's been awesome to work with you guys and like literally met an entire new family. So I'm really looking forward to Tampa, and I can't wait. Can't wait to work on field 35B.
35B? That means you're doing a semifinal. You're on 35D.
Hey, what's wrong? Okay, I'm not even going to say it. Never mind. That was going to come up. No, never mind.
Ahead. Nope. Go ahead. Nope. Say it now.
Nope.
Puff that chest out. Nope. Say it.
Nope. Nope. I was going to say, what's wrong with D, but never mind.
All right. That. Hey, that being
No diddy. What's wrong with the D? No diddy.
Jeez.
Dean, I'm going to say goodnight to you, Dean. You're out.
Don't kick him out. Don't kick him out.
One more question before we go. Oh, okay. You can't kick me out. You're not kicking me anywhere.
All right, Lance, go ahead. Final thoughts following that.
Yeah, good luck,
we've got
Lance.
The burial. What? We've got the Bay Area Open in a week and a half, so looking forward to that. Weather should be holding up for that weekend. It should be good fun. So looking forward to that. You know, it's quiet time for now, and then we get rolling into Tampa. I am kind of interested and curious what the schedule is going to be for the rest of 2025, because a couple of the trailer locations that I've been hearing about are interesting. So definitely interested in that. Gonna take it easy the next 6 weeks. Got Bay Area Open, got Arlington, and then swinging into Tampa full steam. So that's what I'm looking forward to.
How about you, Pat?
Well, the caveat back with Dean, he might be standing on Wednesday after Tuesday when I pick him up from Fort Lauderdale to ride with me, because that bottle that got his name on it, he don't even know. But he put his foot in his mouth saying what he can do and what he can't do with the big dog. But
I got a bottle with your name on it too, Pat.
But
that ain't the problem.
But the next couple of weeks, so we have the annual Center Bowl here. It's actually, they moved it from Raleigh. It's going to be here in Fayetteville. It's all women. They have a co-ed, but it'll be pretty much a good warm up to get back into, you know, officiating as far as flag football again. And that's pretty much it. And locking in for January. And like I said, I'll be down in Florida back at home pretty much that weekend prior, just relaxing and getting some body treatment, because Jacob saw how I was moving a couple weeks ago. Hamstrings were still a little tight from all that running. So, yeah, I thought I was good until about, the eighth game? Yeah.
So,
hammy started tightening up on me. But that's really it, man. Just conditioning my body and treatment. That's it.
Nice, man. Well, as far as me goes, I've just been excited about all the interactions we've been having on social media lately. good conversation, good debates. I think it's all been in fun. We can have jokes. I haven't really felt like anything's gotten out of control where people are taking digs at each other or anything like that. I feel like a benefit that's coming from it is people are learning, people are growing. Maybe this is a way for, this podcast and the flag community to just improve the game and get better and learn the rules better and understand the official point of view. And so I think that's being accomplished right now, and I'm excited for the next couple months to really just continue on doing that and get everyone, ready to go for Tampa. How about you, Jacob?
No, man, I think, just to piggyback off of what you said, everything's going great. Conversations have been great. I think that's the biggest thing is have these conversations because, what's being done in, X, Y, and Z's backyard football league doesn't necessarily match up what the national standards are. So clearing the air on that, making sure everybody's on the same page is super important.
Yeah, for sure. Well, I appreciate y'all coming on tonight. I just want to be able to just shout Clocks Running Podcast out. This is the best experience we provide. It's on YouTube. You can watch us. You can listen. You can see Jacob eating a cheesesteak and Dean with 75 faces behind him, which is going to be great. And everything in between. So, but definitely
who's that guy right there? That guy looks familiar. In the middle of everything.
Definitely check us out on YouTube. Please subscribe because then you get alerts whenever something gets posted. All 47 episodes have been uploaded to YouTube, and so that's a good way to catch up. They don't have to be watched in order necessarily, and you can see these guys and a lot of other officials around the country. We are on every platform as far as listening to podcasts, so whether it's Spotify or Apple or iHeart or Pandora or any of those, and there's a lot out there. We have a lot of stuff on social media as far as Instagram and Facebook, Threads, X, Twitter, and TikTok as well. So. I appreciate you guys coming on, and I appreciate everyone listening and following us and continuing to support us in any way you can. So everyone have a good night, and we'll see you soon.
All righty, guys. Have a good one.